It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Brandon Dixon. Moving up the deadline. President Biden plans to announce today that all American adults will be eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine by April 19th. That's almost 2 weeks earlier than expected. The commander-in-chief is also expected to give a progress report on coronavirus.
Today we will hear an update from the president at the White House. Before that, he's going to Alexandria, not far from the White House, to see what it's like for ordinary Americans to get this shot.
The president will be in Alexandria at 1:45 this afternoon and will speak at the White House at 3:45 p.m. He's expected to say that 150 million doses of the vaccine have been administered within his first 75 days in office. Meanwhile, Dr. Ashish Jha tells CNN he has a message to all those who have concerns about getting the coronavirus cure.
I understand why people want to wait and they want to understand more. Here's what I say to them. With every other vaccine that we have developed as humanity, almost every one of them, like all the side effects that are important, show up within the first few weeks and certainly by the first 2 months. We didn't see those. Now we've got 104 million Americans have gotten a shot. We're not seeing complications in any meaningful numbers. And all of that to me is extremely reassuring.
This is a recent poll found 40% of white evangelical Protestants say they likely won't get vaccinated, compared with 25% of all Americans. It comes as the National Association of Evangelicals, which represents more than 45,000 churches, is part of a new coalition that will host events and distribute various public messages to build trust among wary evangelicals. And as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, America's largest evangelical denomination, posted a photo on Facebook last week of him getting the coronavirus vaccine. It drew admiration and anger. President Biden's infrastructure plan has been boosted after the Senate parliamentarian greenlighted a strategy that would allow Democrats in the evenly split chamber to rely on a 51-vote threshold to advance some bills rather than the 60 votes typically needed. Republicans have opposed the massive measure, instead wanting a narrow plan that focuses on roads and bridges, while Democrats want to go big with raising corporate taxes to pay for the more than $2 trillion plan. Democratic Congressman Elsie Hastings, the longest-serving member of Florida's congressional delegation, has died. He was 84. Hastings suffered from pancreatic cancer. A 38-year-old man has shot and wounded two people in Office Park in Frederick, Maryland. Cops say the suspect then went to Fort Detrick and was shot and killed. The victims were flown to the hospital in critical condition. Police will hold another update at 2:30 this afternoon. The Minneapolis police chief testifying that now fired officer Derek Chauvin violated departmental policy in pressing his knee on George Floyd's neck and keeping him down after Floyd had stopped resisting and was in distress.
The goal is to resolve the situation as safely as possible. So you want to always have de-escalation.
The defense argued that Chauvin did what he was trained to do and that Floyd's use of illegal drugs and his underlying health conditions caused his death. They questioned the emergency room doctor who pronounced Floyd dead.
Drug use, certain drugs can cause hypoxia, agreed?
Yes.
Specifically fentanyl?
That's correct.
How about methamphetamine?
It can.
Combination of the two?
Yes.
But Dr. Bradford Langenfeld said it was, quote, more likely that Floyd's cardiac arrest was caused by insufficient oxygen. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson has vetoed a bill that would have banned gender reassignment surgeries and hormone supplements for anyone under 18 in the state.
Bill 1570 would put the state as the definitive oracle of medical care, overriding parents, patients, and healthcare experts.
Pro-family experts say it's unconscionable that parents would approve of a child getting gender reassignment surgery. Hutchinson's veto can be overridden by the legislature. In Pennsylvania, some female Republican state representatives have unveiled a bill that would essentially ban transgender youth from playing school sports according to their gender identity. Representative Martina White.
When a biological male competes on a girl's team, a biological female loses something. It could be playing time, a championship, or even a scholarship.
But opponents like Preston Heldebrittle with the Pennsylvania Youth Congress argue,
we know that participating in sports helps develop communication skills, teamwork, confidence, problem solving, as well as building memories and friendships. And it's unacceptable for trans kids in particular to be turned away from the opportunities we want everyone to have.
Supporters say this proposal is in response to President Biden's January 20th executive order that banned discrimination based on gender identity. A spokesman for Governor Wolf says he'll veto the measure if it reaches his desk. Crews continue to try to control a leaking wastewater pond near Tampa Bay.
It's just such a breach of trust for us in the community.
Melissa Fitzsimmons lives on the border of the evacuation zone and is taking no chances.
Thankfully, we have family that live a couple miles down the road, so we've brought everything there that we need to.
CBS's Janet Chamblian reporting. Texas Governor Greg Abbott now joining the fight against Major League Baseball after the MLB announced it was pulling the All-Star Game out of Atlanta due to Georgia's new voting law. Abbott says he will not take part in any more league events and didn't throw out the first pitch at the Texas Rangers home opener on Monday due to the, quote, false narrative MLB has adopted on the law.
We are done with the cancel culture and this pressuring.
Meanwhile, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp doubling down on his disapproval of MLB's decision.
This great sport, America's pastime, is now going to be politicized. We have a bunch of spineless corporations that won't just say, look, we're not engaging in that.
Republican Senators Rand Paul and Marco Rubio also calling out the double standard of companies like Coke and Delta for standing against the Peach State's voting law, but supporting countries such as communist China. Senator Raphael Warnock is facing backlash over a now-deleted tweet about Easter. The Georgia Democrat and pastor at New Ebenezer Baptist Church tweeted that, quote, the meaning of Easter is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that everyone can save themselves through a commitment to helping others. Some Christians argued back, saying nothing is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus. Also ahead on the Noon Report, deadline dud. New York State still doesn't have a budget. Vaccine eligibility expands in the Empire State, and renewed school guidelines coming in both New York and PA. First, a quick peek at the forecast from meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon to all. Nice spring day underway, but there are a couple of rain showers in our forecast for tonight. I'll have the details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Here's what's happening across New York and Pennsylvania. Today, all New Yorkers 16 and up are eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine.
We're focused on vaccinations. We announced the Roll Up Your Sleeves campaign.
13 Whams, Andrew Baynes says,
if you are ages 16 or 17, you will need parental consent to come get your vaccine.
Meanwhile, the state budget remains up in the air. Governor Cuomo says,
we have a conceptual agreement on all issues, I think it's fair to say, the Senate, the Assembly, and myself.
However, it's now 5 days overdue, and some state workers may have a gap in their paycheck. One of the holdups is reforming how nursing homes spend their cash from the Empire State. Lawmakers want nursing homes to spend at least 70% of their revenue on direct resident care.
Everyone supports being able to do that, but you still have to pay to keep the lights on. You have to pay your mortgage. You have to pay all of these other costs.
Over 70% of New York's nursing home resident care is paid for through Medicaid, and the state has cut that cash 12 years in a row.
New York State is the worst Medicaid payer in the country compared to every other state. So that's the real problem, is how do you comply when the state, which funds 70% of nursing home care, doesn't pay you enough? That's the real issue.
That's Jim Klein of Leading Age New York. A bill introduced by a group of female GOP lawmakers is sparking debate in the Keystone State. It would essentially ban transgender youth from playing school sports according to their gender identity. Representative Barb Glimes says it's a necessary response to an executive order from President Biden.
We think that this order violates Title IX and reverses nearly 50 years of advances for women. Title IX was designed to stop discrimination and create equal athletic opportunities for women.
But opponents say it's something much worse. Alex Myers, a personal assistant for Representative Nancy Gunst, tells ABC 27.
I think you're going to create a problem because you haven't really thought this through.
I'm a transgender male. And I was a foster parent. I can't imagine one of my kids going through this.
Supporters of the Fairness in Women's Sports Act say transgender children who were raised as boys have a physical advantage. Meantime, a spokeswoman for Governor Wolf said he would veto the bill if it reached his desk. Police reform advocates and protesters have teamed up to file a class action lawsuit against the Rochester Police Department. ABC 13's Dan Schrack.
This paperwork filed claims civil and constitutional rights violations allegedly committed by Rochester police dating back to the 1970s. It also claims city leaders have responded with deliberate interference to the problem and by failing to meaningfully train and supervise and discipline officers who use excessive force, the city has fostered a culture of violence and impunity in its ranks.
Several plaintiffs cite the way RPD members responded to the September 2020 protest following the release of video of Daniel Prude's March arrest. Pennsylvania has revised its school reopening guidelines.
The new recommendations bring the state into alignment with recent guidance issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Pennsylvania officials now recommend schools in counties with a moderate level of community transmission, according to the state's early warning monitoring dashboard, consider returning students to full in-person instruction in addition to hybrid learning. Officials said counties with substantial community transmission should offer hybrid and remote learning. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
This is New York State. We'll soon have an update on guidance for schools in this era of COVID. Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Within a week, there will be guidance. The reason it has taken time is it is very controversial.
Some educators have called on the state to adopt the new CDC guidelines, which say 3 feet of distancing in the classroom is safe and adequate, but the state has yet to do that. Teachers have said the current 6 feet distancing requirement has been the hardest obstacle to navigate as some districts work to reopen schools for more in-person instruction. Tonight will mark the second night bowling alleys, gyms, and movie theaters can stay open past 11 p.m. However, restaurants are still under curfew and have to close their doors early.
Wolf's general manager in Syracuse, Joseph Jones, says the law doesn't make any sense.
We definitely would appreciate being able to stay open past 11. I think that the risk factors in all of the other establishments that are able to do so are very similar to a restaurant.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says he'll reevaluate the rules for restaurants later this month, but tonight they're closed at 11, and the bowling alley is the place to go for late night food. Restaurant owners, they're trying to keep their chin up.
Just really stay positive, and I think that reflects during the day, the work hours, when customers come in, they feel that positivity.
Following the rules in Syracuse. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Cornell University in Ithaca is now one of only 5 colleges nationwide that's mandating every college student on campus get a COVID vaccine to return to classes this fall.
Medical and religious exemptions will be accommodated, but their expectation is to make sure Cornell campuses and classrooms are overwhelmingly filled with vaccinated people.
The move impacts some 22,000 students. U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer in Elmira, New York, serving up relief for restaurants.
Help is on the way for our restaurants. And what is on the menu? $28 billion to help our restaurants. It is a grant, not a loan.
His stop, part of the American Rescue Plan that recently went into effect.
They are often the largest businesses, not themselves, but in aggregate. They employ the most people. They bring life to our communities. They give people a sense of belonging.
New York State Trooper Joseph Gallagher has been escorted from Long Island to his home in Buffalo,
where he'll be laid to rest on Wednesday. Trooper Gallagher passed away on March 26th from injuries sustained 3 years ago after he was struck by a vehicle while assisting a disabled motorist on a Long Island overpass. Trooper Gallagher had been a member of the state police since 2014. He is survived by his wife and 2 children.
WETM's Jordan Norkus reporting. And looking for an artist in Watkins Glen.
The Village Chamber of Commerce is seeking artists to paint a mural downtown. The mural would be on the side of the Chamber's Information Center on Franklin Street. The Chamber is hoping it'll attract visitors to the region. The applicant selected for the job will receive $2,700 for labor and supplies.
The mural will be themed Farm Country's Farm Friends and be between 150 and 200 square feet. Applications should be submitted to the Watkins Glen Area Chamber of Commerce by April 15th. Time next for the two-minute drill in sports. Waco, Texas is title town. The Baylor Bears beat undefeated Gonzaga 86-70 last night to win their first NCAA men's basketball championship. Baylor jumped out to an early 19-point lead and never looked back as the Zags didn't get any closer than 9 points the rest of the way.
Coach Drew and Baylor complete college basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild.
Gonzaga was 32-0 on the year and had won 36 straight, dating back to last season until Baylor's beatdown. Major League Baseball's All-Star Game has a new host city after the league pulled out of Atlanta due to Georgia's new voting law. The annual game will be played in the Mile High City of Denver.
Denver last hosted the games a while back in 1998.
That's News Nation's Rob Nelson. The North Carolina Tar Heels have a new head men's basketball coach, and they didn't have to look far. Longtime assistant Hubert Davis will replace Roy Williams. He's been an assistant in Chapel Hill for the past 9 years and becomes the first black head coach in UNC men's basketball history.
Everything significant in my life has happened here. I grew up here. I played basketball here. I got an education here and graduated with a criminal justice degree. I met my best friends here. I fell in love with my wife here. I became a Christian here.
Davis, who played at Carolina from 1988 to 1992, also played in the NBA for 12 seasons and previously served as a college basketball analyst for ESPN. And 3 years after hailing him as their franchise quarterback, the New York Jets have traded Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for a sixth-round pick this year and a second and third rounder in 2022. ESPN's Tony Kornheiser.
This means that the Jets are going to go get a quarterback. So who do they get? Do they get Zach Wilson? Do they get Justin Fields? Do they get Mac Jones? They obviously are in the market to get somebody.
Darnold was the Jets' number three overall pick in 2018. For Family Life Sports, I'm Britton Dixon. Coming up in this noon report, still waiting on a New York State budget. The U.S. set to make world history and historic here.
The worldview that's currently dominating media and academia seems to have little room for the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism is still a problem, and it's coming now from a different place. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A pattern emerges whenever a culture tries to fix itself with only the resources of its own unmoored virtues. A problem's identified, but misdiagnosed. Then a solution is offered that accomplishes often the exact opposite of the goal. Examples of this include trampling on the rights of women in the name of inclusion, firing ethnic minorities for racism, and the new brand of anti-Semitism prevalent on college campuses that are supposed to be, and maybe even because they are, woke. These many examples reveal why worldview matters. Every worldview answers questions such as, what's wrong with the world and how can it be fixed? Some worldviews just get these answers very, very wrong. For example, hatred of the Jews is perhaps the oldest hatred in the world. Typically, anti-Semitism is perceived as coming from far-right white supremacists or from radical Muslim extremists. According to a new student group called the New Zionist Congress, however, anti-Semitism is increasingly being found on college campuses. Apparently, progressive orthodoxies built around critical theory often have a little space for Jewish people. It's hard to follow, I know. In the name of standing up for the oppressed, maybe the most oppressed group in the world is being excluded? Blake Flayton, a self-proclaimed progressive gay and Jewish college student, first explained this problem in a 2019 op-ed in the New York Times. At many American universities, he wrote, it's now normal for student organizations to freely call Israel an imperialist power and an outpost of white colonialism with little pushback or discussion. Never mind that more than half of Israel's population consists of Israeli Jews from the Middle East and North Africa, and that the country boasts a 20% Arab minority. And the problem, of course, is that critical theory, at the end of the day, is just not big enough as a worldview, not big enough to deal with a real world, one that crosses constantly racial, socioeconomic, and national lines. Critical theory, in fact, relies on those lines to determine human worth, human dignity, and moral standing. No room's allowed for actual progress. Once an oppressor, always an oppressor. And if an oppressed group rises above their oppression, whether it's perceived or real, well, they risk falling on the wrong side of the measuring stick. Jewish history is long and it's winding, even after the Germans attempted to exterminate them and much of the world closed their borders to Jewish refugees, the Jewish people somehow managed to reclaim their homeland in Israel. And now that Israel has secured relative safety and freedom, they're the evil ones? This self-defeating and dehumanizing logic is a central flaw of this way of seeing the world. Any worldview that grounds human value in a perceived proximity to oppression or power or to an ethnic group itself robs individuals of their humanity. God's image is what makes us human and therefore valuable, whether or not we have any power or belong to any group. Not only does the Bible provide a much better standard for determining human worth, it also gives us a clue why anti-Semitism has persisted for so long in human history. God formed the nation of Israel and chose the Jewish people by which to send the world the Messiah in order to bless all the peoples of the earth. A world that's animated by his enemy will hate them. Years ago, John Piper said in a sermon that a church that fails to evangelize the Jewish people, to accept, value, learn from, and minister to them, will not long hold to the gospel. He was drawing heavily from the writings of Paul, which explore the mystery of God's love for the Jewish people. The world's new, or more accurately, recycled hate for the Jewish people is another opportunity then for the church to be profoundly countercultural. Psalm 122 instructs us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That peace remains a long way off. That means we have to keep praying, at the very least. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Let's get a check of weather now from Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here's your Family Life regional weather forecast for this afternoon. Abundant sunshine giving way to increasing cloudiness, mild. High temperatures into the 60s, except cooler near the Great Lakes along the shores. For tonight, rather cloudy, couple of scattered showers, a low in the 40s and low 50s. Tomorrow, chance for a shower, especially in the morning in western Pennsylvania. Otherwise, some sunshine, the high in the 60s. We'll have some sunshine on Thursday. High temperatures in the mid-60s to the middle-70s. It'll be cooler along the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario.
Okay, Kevin, thank you very much. The U.S. set to become the first country in the world to administer 150 million shots. President Biden is expected to make that announcement later this afternoon from the White House. He's also expected to announce that he's moving up his deadline for states to make all American adults eligible for a coronavirus vaccine.
The president's new April 19th deadline is in keeping with decisions already made by officials in nearly every one of the states. Just two, Hawaii and Oregon, had said they still intended to wait until May 1st to make all adults eligible to sign up. New York makes all adults eligible for the shots today, and five other states, including New Jersey and Pennsylvania, had already set April 19th as their target date.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy reporting. The man who fired Officer Derek Chauvin, Minneapolis Police Chief Madera Arredondo, took the witness stand Monday, saying Chauvin absolutely violated police policy when he kneeled on George Floyd's neck.
When I look at the facial expression of Mr. Floyd, that does not appear in any way, shape, or form that is light to moderate pressure.
Arredondo did defend police officers across the country. He said Chauvin has given men and women in blue a bad name. A group of Republican lawmakers in Pennsylvania have introduced a bill that would ban transgendered athletes from participating in women's sports.
Allowing biological males to compete in girls' and women's sports destroys fair competition and women's athletic opportunities.
They say they're standing up for women by making sure transgender athletes do not dominate women's school sports.
Gifted biological males will always have physical advantages over women.
We are changing the course and setting our female athletes up for failure and disappointment, forcing biological girls to compete against biological boys who are physiologically and biologically stronger and faster.
Pro-lifers cheering a victory in PA.
The Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court has upheld a 1985 law that bars state taxpayer dollars from being used for abortions, except in the cases of rape, incest, or to save the life of the mother. The law is Pennsylvania's version of the Hyde Amendment, which was passed by Congress. According to the Family Research Council, the 6-1 decision also blocks abortion businesses from challenging a prohibition on taxpayer dollars paid paying for abortions.
That's Ken Lorman reporting. New York State's budget remains unfinished. Issues like funding excluded workers, such as undocumented immigrants and those recently released from incarceration, remain a discussion. That's something Republicans like State Senator Rob Ord have spoken out against, calling it a, quote, radical agenda. A Supreme Court justice is suggesting Congress should update laws to better regulate social media platforms.
Clarence Thomas said Monday that platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, and Google have unbridled control over speech. The written concurrent opinion came with the court's decision to dismiss a case concerning Donald Trump's use of Twitter while he was the president. No other justices joined in the conservative Thomas's opinion. I'm Brian Shook.
And a Texas-based company is showing off its work after fully surveying the world's deepest known shipwreck. A crew from Caledon Oceanic took a vessel to map and film the USS Johnston, 21,180 feet below the surface of the Pacific Ocean. It's a World War II U.S. Navy destroyer that was sunk during a battle with Japan in 1944. Caledon Oceanic's founder said as a former Navy commander, he's proud to help bring, quote, clarity and closure to the ship, its crew, and loved ones. This is the Noon Report for Tuesday, April 6th.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Steve Ritchie from Lockport, New York. He was shot and left for dead, but God had other plans for his life.
I was a police officer for 29 years in the city of Lockport. The last 17 of those was as a canine officer. We had a gentleman with an AK-47 that pulled up outside a bar, shot the new boyfriend of an ex-girlfriend. And that happened probably about 11 o'clock at night, and throughout the night we were trying to chase him down, and eventually we caught up to him at a trailer park, and as we sat there waiting, he came back out towards us and saw headlights coming, and all of a sudden I started seeing flashes from his car, and that was, he actually was shooting through his windshield, firing into my car. Wow. And one of the first rounds that came through my windshield, it struck me in the jaw. I laid across the seat to protect myself as the rounds were coming in through. He then rammed my vehicle, continued to push it back. He wasn't going to go anywhere. He wanted suicide by cop at this time. He wanted to end it there. So the round stopped coming into my vehicle. I thought, okay, now I got to get out of this car. I'm a sitting duck in here. As I got out and drew my gun up and pointed it at his vehicle, he shot me through again. That shot struck me in the chest, out my back, along my spine, instantly paralyzed my right arm, went through my lung. Now I'm like, I gotta just run. I saw another police car up ahead. I'm going to run to that car. Got about halfway. I couldn't run anymore. My lung was filled with blood. I couldn't breathe. And it was just, okay, I just got to lay down here and hopefully he'll leave me alone. But as I was laying on the ground, he would fire at me as I was laying on the ground. And that's when he shot me, ended up shooting me in both my legs at that point. Eventually, he wandered off into the wooded area and he shot himself in the head and committed suicide.
So he was dead and you were in the hospital and you were declared dead four times?
Actually, they couldn't even get my pulse or any when I was laying there. I think I died at that point there. Eventually, what happened for me, I woke up 3 days later in the hospital. They lost me a couple of times. And then on the operating table later on, they also lost me a couple of times.
Why do you think God spared your life, Steve?
I spent 17 years asking that very question. Like, God, why? What is the purpose? I felt like there was a greater calling that he was going to use me at some point. It may have been to save one person. It may be to save thousands. I don't know.
The issue of forgiveness. I know we, as Christians, we're told to forgive. And a lot of times we say we've forgiven people. But to actually forgive, that is a long, hard process. How did you, even though your shooter ended up taking his own life, how were you able to eventually forgive him?
I spent a long time hating the person who shot me. I belong to an organization called Op Overwatch, which is a Christian police ministry to help deal with suicide within law enforcement. And as part of Op Overwatch, we got together with an organization called Saving Grace Ministries. I told my story, gave my testimony, and there was a gentleman sitting 6 feet away from me that was sobbing. I knew he was a parolee, so I'm wondering, like, okay, why is he really sobbing? So then he spoke next. His name was Frankie, and he proceeded to say that 2 weeks before, he'd just gotten out of prison. spent 42 years in prison for murdering an Erie County Sheriff's deputy. He turns and he's facing me, and he's like personally talking to me, and he's talking about how Christ saved him, and he's looking at me, and he knew a lot about the officer, and he was seeking forgiveness from the family of the officer for what he did. But he also said, I want forgiveness from the law enforcement family. Could you forgive me for what I did? And as he's sitting there, what's going through my mind is, here's the person that shot me, now dead, committed suicide that night. But I'm thinking to myself, now 17 there, 6 feet away from me, asking me for forgiveness. Am I able to forgive him? Would I be able to say, yeah, I can forgive you? So I looked at Frankie and I said, yeah, I can forgive you. That was a release for me, and it was a release for him.
You look at, you know, the defund the police movement that we see and the riots across the country. What would you say to that police officer, Steve, that's just kind of ready to throw in the towel, hand in the badge, say it's not worth it?
I think the part of the issue is that we need an honest and open discussion from both sides on this issue. I think the law enforcement side and the community need to come together. I think for those police officers who feel hopeless, there is an answer, and it's Jesus Christ. Police officers are the hardest people to get through to, because we actually sort of hide behind that shield. We build that wall to protect us against how we view the world, how we view other people. Mm. That's the problem. We talk about systemic racism. It's not systemic racism. It's systemic cynicism. You know, I was there, and you think, oh, I have to live a certain way or live a way that I don't want to live. And that's not the case at all, because when you live with Christ, it's the best way to live.
From Lockport, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
Hometown Hero airs Tuesdays during the noon report or online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here's your Family Life regional weather forecast for this afternoon. Abundant sunshine giving way to increasing cloudiness, mild. High temperatures into the 60s, except cooler near the Great Lakes along the shores. For tonight, rather cloudy, couple of scattered showers, a low in the 40s and low 50s. Tomorrow, chance for a shower, especially in the morning in western Pennsylvania. Otherwise, some sunshine, the high in the 60s. We'll have some sunshine on Thursday, high temperatures in the mid-60s to the middle 70s. It'll be cooler along the shores of Lake Erie and Ontario.
Finally, at noon, major money for a founding father's mane. Somebody's cutting a big check for a lovely lock of hair from the nation's first president.
The hair went for just under $40,000 during a Leland's auction that finished Friday after 45 bids. It was believed to have been removed from the founding father close to or after his death in 1799. The hair was kept in a handmade brass and glass locket with a letter dated 1836. These strands of hair went for a few thousand dollars more than another lock from Washington's mane in 2019. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Talk about some historic hair. And that is the world we live in this Tuesday. Thanks for coming along. I'm Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.